This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are Passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
John Marquis was at the double for Pompey in midweek.
It's loose in the box. Shot on goal and in! And Portsmouth have done it! In added time! Accrington 2, Portsmouth 3!
And just when you thought the Blues had pulled off the most dramatic comeback of the season, the most disastrous thing happened at the other end of the pitch.
Lifted towards the far post, great delivery. Loose in the penalty area. Shot on goal! Palmed away! And into the net! McGilvery has palmed it against the shins of John Marquis and it has rolled over the line. And wow. Pompey are going to be denied victory with what is probably the final kick of the game.
Head coach Danny Cowley has been reflecting on Tuesday's draw, revealing the way in which he and his side reacted in the days that followed.
We woke up Wednesday with enthusiasm, had a good chance to look and watch the game back. And I think by doing that, then you're creating these learning opportunities for the players. And actually, I find that really therapeutic.
I'm joined tonight by two more Pompey fans to go over that heartbreaking stalemate, as well as to look forward to the penultimate game of the season, a trip to AFC Wimbledon. As ever, we're relying on you back home to help us along with tonight's show. We're asking for your pre-match thoughts and score predictions between now and 7 o'clock. Welcome along to another 60 minutes of Blues debate and conversation. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and thank you for joining us on this Friday night, the last day of April. Where on earth are those first 4 months of the year gone? This season, the Football Hour has been brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you out and about across Hampshire and the South Coast affordably, safely and whilst adhering to government COVID guidelines. We have reached the business end of the season now, Pompey fans. Just two games remain for the Blues to hold out for a playoff spot. Up next, it's a trip to Plough Lane, the new... Well, old, but also the new home of AFC Wimbledon. Tonight, we'll be going through our and your pre-match concerns and predictions, as well as casting our minds back to Tuesday night. In line with this weekend's social media blackout, as we aim to combat racism, homophobia and all other forms of online abuse, we're asking you to get involved this evening via text or email. 81400 is the number in which to text. Ensure you start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email your thoughts into pompey@expressfm.com. But before we get to any of those, and before I welcome in my two guests for tonight's show, we're going to take a short trip back in time to Tuesday night, around 7pm at the Crown Ground, home of Accrington Stanley, where the Blues were looking to secure back-to-back victories, having previously gone four games without a win.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It's been a strange season, to say the least. But we've come to crunch time. Three matches left for Pompey to extend their campaign and Danny Cowley's spell as head coach and get themselves into the League One playoffs for the third consecutive year. Phillips out to the right-hand side. Rogers forward. Rogers cross into the area and McGilvery gets a palm and Bolton will clear it away and that was a worrying moment. Crossing the middle and a header's into the net! And Accrington have scored! It's Colby Bishop. He scored two against Portsmouth last season and he's on target again with a header that flies into the top corner. And with 15 minutes on the clock, it's Accrington 1, Portsmouth 0. Curtis shoots from distance, it's blocked. Ricochets kindly in the area, drilled across the face of goal and Marquis has hit the post from 2 yards out. How has he missed? It's still 1-0. McConville up against Close. Wanted to get that cross into the penalty area. Through the legs of Close into the area. Danger here. Shot comes off the bar and ricochets away and a let off for Pompey. As there's a chance in the penalty area and it's forced into the back of the net. And Accrington have got themselves a second. Bishop helps it along the six-yard box. I'm not sure who's got the final touch. There weren't defenders there who were able to clear it away. And Accrington have doubled their lead. And it's Bishop causing all kinds of problems again. It's Accrington 2, Portsmouth 0.
Marquis on the edge of the penalty area. Shots initially saved. Second go. And Marquis puts it into the back of the net.
And Portsmouth have got the goal they so desperately needed. And Marquis is on target with his second bite of the cherry. Calmly lifting it over the goalkeeper. Accrington 2, Portsmouth 1.
Phillips might hit one from here. He does deflect it. Great save from McGilvery. Loose in the area. McGilvery tips it over the bar. And McGilvery's fine reflexes keep it at 2-1
as there's a chance in the penalty area and it's forced into the back of the net and Accrington have got themselves a second. Bishop helps it along the 6-yard box. I'm not sure who's got the final touch. There weren't defenders there who were able to clear it away and Accrington have doubled their lead and it's Bishop causing all kinds of problems again. It's Accrington 2, Portsmouth 0.
Help back into the danger area and McGilvery fumbled it off the bar and cleared away and Pompey dodge a bullet.
McConville in the area has it. Shot comes in. McGilvery saves. Loose. Still in the 6-yard box. Saved again and will be cleared away and Pompey are on thin ice.
It's loose in the box.
Shot on goal and in! And Portsmouth have done it! In added time! I think it's John Marquis. A loose ball in the area. And a volley past the goalkeeper. And Portsmouth have come back from the dead. Accrington 2, Portsmouth 3.
As Accrington prepare to launch it towards the penalty area for probably the final time. Pompey lead 3-2. Need to see this out. Lifted towards the far post. Great delivery. Loose in the penalty area. Shot on goal. Palmed away. And into the net.
McGilvery has palmed it against the shins of John Marquis. And it has rolled over the line. And wow. Pompey are going to be denied victory with what is probably the final kick of the game. Accrington 3, Portsmouth 3. The final whistle has gone at the Crown Ground. And this result, well, who knows how significant it will be. It finishes level at 3-3 and Pompey have to settle for a point.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham on the commentary there as Pompey squandered the opportunity to secure all 3 points in the most unfortunate of circumstances, having been behind by 2 goals at the break. And that solitary point did lift the Blues up to 6th. However, after Charlton were held to a 2-2 draw at home to Crewe Alexandra, the visitors also scoring very late in that game to deny Charlton with the win. Mark Coates is at the other end of the line this evening to talk all things Pompey. Mark, a pleasure to welcome you back, mate. Thanks for coming back on to chat to us.
Absolute pleasure.
Alongside you this evening, making his debut on the proper football hour. He did appear on the lockdown football hour around this time last year. It's Dan Waldron. Dan, good evening and cheers for calling in tonight.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on again, Jake.
No worries at all. So looking at the table then, Mark, we'll start off with that right now then. And Pompey with that 3-3 draw on Tuesday night at Accrington, just a point for the Blues. Two were snatched away right at death by Accrington. That has left Pompey in 6th on 69 points after 44 games played. Blackpool just above with 71 points, 2 clear points of Pompey, having played a game less. It's really the teams looking below. Oxford, 68 points, just a point behind the Blues on the same games played. And Charlton, down in 8th, just 2 points behind Pompey with a game in hand. 2 matches remain this season, Mark, and it's going to be a very, very nervy end to the campaign.
Oh, it's going to be nervy for sure, but surely that's what footballers are trained for. That's what they look to. I don't know if you... remember, you're a young'un, unlike me, Jake. So I don't know how well you remember the Great Escape when Harry Redknapp managed to save us from the drop, Pedro Mendes kicking all of that off, and that for me was that's probably my happiest memories as a Pompey fan. Actually, is all that last minute drama, and I'm absolutely loving this. I absolutely love it. And I remember John Westwood saying Pompey are best when their backs are to the wall. And I watched John Marquis come out of the traps in the second half the other night, and my God, he was just an inspiration. And I couldn't say privately, I couldn't say many good things about the guy in the first half, but he shut me up, and I'm sure a lot of other people as well. And I think we're going to see the absolute best of this team because they've got guts and they've got fight, and we are going to make these playoffs.
And it wouldn't be the Pompey way, would it, Dan, if we didn't do it the difficult way? This is the typical Pompey style at the end of the season. We don't make things easy for ourselves, do we? We go into these final two games with teams breathing down our neck below us. But like Mark said, there is still a very strong possibility that the Blues will finish in the top six this season. It's going to be very exciting and nerve-wracking, you know, final two matches.
Yeah, it is exciting, and that's why we're fans, isn't it? That's what we want at the end of the season. We want these kind of stressful games. You know, it wouldn't have mattered so much the other night had we not been involved in around the playoffs. And that's what makes being a Pompey fan so great. And we've all got lots of kind of memories over the years of those last day relegation fights, winning. I remember going to Huddersfield when we won 1-0 and stayed up in sort of mid-90s. You know, when it comes to it, Pompey quite often deliver. So I've got full faith that we're going to get the results we need over the next two games and ultimately get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Flashing back to Tuesday night then, Mark, Pompey at half-time found themselves two goals behind. And looking at that first half performance, Pompey in the first 45 minutes, personally, I don't think you can really argue that going forward, Pompey weren't good enough, because I think certainly creating the chances for John Marquis, Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness going forward, I don't think it was too bad. We just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. We certainly had the opportunities to take the lead and equalise and even pull a goal back. But defensively, yet again, Pompey really lacking. And that's something we need to work on if we are to make the playoffs.
We're seeing in the paper this week, I'm not sure if it was Neil Allen writing about it, one of the news journalists saying that Cowley had earmarked Watmore as one of the best, possibly the best Pompey player, and he's been out, of course. We're also missing Brown, and at the back we've got Raggett, and I really like the guy. I love his attitude. He's just won a community award, but he's got a big turn in circle. He doesn't always look, he often looks awkward, and I thought Bolton was good alongside him, but they were trying out this new system. There was the three at the back. Seeing Harness appear at left back was strange. Johnson, I think, actually can play right wing back, but it was, as you say, all geared to going forwards. And they're reasonable players. A couple of those, Nicolaisen as well, I don't think has really got into top gear this season, but they looked even more ill at ease, I thought, at the back. And it was kind of set up for something like a 3-3. And I think one of your own, the Viking himself, Ryan, actually said he thought it would be 2-2. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised with a high draw. All set up to go forward. It's brilliant. It's positive. Fans absolutely love it. But they weren't quite right at the back. But do you know what? He's come in, he's adopted Kenny's system, and now he's experimenting. Well, both of them, the Cowleys, are experimenting, and we've got to give them some slack.
Yeah. And look, Dan, whilst Pompey could have secured the win very late on, it was so dramatic in the final stages of the game. Two goals scored in injury, first of all by Pompey. John Marquis with an acrobatic effort to put the Blues 3-2 ahead, having been 2-0 down at half-time. But Accrington, unfortunately, coming back into the game somewhat 90 seconds later with a really unfortunate own goal. It was crossed in, headed towards Craig McGilvery. He parried it away, and John Marquis he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't know too much about it, and it trickled into the back of the net off his shin. Really unfortunate, but when you look upon the game, you reflect upon the entire 90 minutes, the way that Accrington performed, the way that Pompey performed in that first half. Was a point probably the kind of most fair result from that?
Yeah, I think a point was a fair result. I think at half time you're going to take a point. You're 2-0 down. You know, the kind of highs and lows of the game probably echo a lot of Pompey's season. And I think the heartache by Marquis's equaliser was kind of nullified a little bit by Crewe's late goal against Charlton. So that kind of made it slightly more bearable. I think at half-time, you would have taken probably both of those results. The way it happened was obviously disappointing. But positively, you know, John back in the goals. Hopefully he can take that forward into the next two games and maybe the playoffs as well.
Yeah. OK, Mark, Dan, we'll come back to you both in just a few moments. But now we're going to hear from Blues head coach Danny Cowley. He had a lengthy chat with Ollie Marsh earlier in the week to mull over the disappointment of Tuesday's stalemate and look ahead to tomorrow's trip to Wimbledon. And he was first asked how he's feeling now, having had a few days to reflect on the events at Accrington.
Yeah, I think we're all feeling good. We were bitterly disappointed once we went into the lead in the 91st minute, not to be able to see the game out. but naturally we felt that disappointment on the trip back to Portsmouth. But we woke up Wednesday with enthusiasm, had a good chance to look and watch the game back, clip the game, and when you're clipping the game, you're clipping it for the team and for departments and also for individuals. And I think by doing that, then you're creating these learning opportunities for the players, and actually I find that really therapeutic. So off the back of that, we took some good learning from it, and I think this is what you always have to do in football, and I suppose in life in general. When things don't go as well as you would like, when maybe you make some mistakes, you have to make sure that you're big enough to take responsibility and hold yourself accountable. And if you do that, then you always take learning, and as a consequence, you'll keep moving forward.
Was it a game where actually, when you take away the heartbreak, you can find as many positives as you do negatives when you look back at it?
Maybe. Offensively, I think there was a lot of positives. Defensively, we need to do much better. There's no hiding place for that. We need to deal with the direct play better. We need to have better organisation in our defensive line. Our 1v1 duel needs to be better. We need to defend our box with much more physicality than we did. So there's a lot to improve on in that area. And we've highlighted it and identified it over the last 2 days. And we're working towards improving it for Saturday.
Does it put the Wimbledon game into sort of must-win territory?
I think for us it's a great game. You know, when we woke up Wednesday morning, since Wednesday morning it's been Project Wimbledon. You know, they're a great club, Wimbledon. I have a soft spot for them. I've played there as a young player for a number of years. They had their identity and their club stolen away from them, and the way they've galvanised and come back from non-league football and worked their way through the divisions, I think anyone who loves football will have a soft spot for them. So we know it's going to be a really tough game. I think the informed team in the division, Mark Robinson has done a brilliant job since he arrived, found the best way of playing for that group of players, and they've been incredibly consistent for a long period now. So we know how tough the challenge will be, but we know it's a pivotal time in our season, and we're looking forward to the challenge that Saturday brings.
Danny Cowley there speaking ahead of tomorrow's visit to Plough Lane. And within that first part of the interview, Mark, the head coach talks about having a positive attitude and using learning curves rather than sitting back and mulling over what really was a heartbreaking end to the game. But instead, he's took his team to the training pitch. They've watched over the game. They've highlighted the areas they need to improve upon so that it doesn't happen again. And that's the kind of thing that Pompey fans back home wanted to hear, isn't it? You don't want to really mull over it too much, but at the same time, you want your head coach to acknowledge that things aren't quite as rosy as he may seem.
Yeah, for sure. And I've got nothing but respect for the Cowleys. I tell you what, they're brave, brave men. They took this job. They're the brass enough neck to take this job. And they don't mind making changes, like the ones we were talking about just before that clip. I think that they're going to move forward. Pompey are going to make the changes they need to. I think they're going to get better as he gets to know the squad, gets to understand their strengths. George Byers, where's he been? If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have won that game against Bristol, because it was that little flick with Curtis that put him into space and gave us that all-important goal, that little moment of class, because they were going down fighting at Bristol. Big respect to them, and I'm gutted to see the gas go down. But Wimbledon, although they may not have as much to play for, they look safe now, they're going to be the same. But I do think every time Pompey come back, they'll come back stronger, with the Cowleys knowing more and the players under their tutelage, if you like, having learned more and made a journey themselves.
Yeah. Paul Ellis has got in touch with the show tonight. He says, concerned with the amount of free kicks that Andy Cannon gives away, the thought of Paul Ellis there. And look, we just heard the interview there with Danny Cowley, Dan, and he mentioned as well, as you know, we briefly spoke before the interview, but Pompey are looking to improve defensively. And, you know, that goes without saying when you've just conceded 3 goals to what is essentially a mid-table team. But that really has been the downfall of the Blues since the Cowleys have come in. Going forward, as Mark's rightfully put there, you know, going forward has been exciting. The attacks have been really, really nice to watch. But defensively, it's been a bit of a shambles, hasn't it?
It has been. I think we miss Brown. I think we miss Watmore as well. And I think where the Cowleys are playing a more expansive football than perhaps Jacket, I think that's kind of being highlighted a bit more, the weakness in defence. But, you know, it's what the fans wanted. We wanted to watch something that was a bit more pleasing on the eye. And I guess as a result of that, due to the effectively the lack of quality we've got in defence, then that's being highlighted. But hopefully we've got enough going forward to outscore what we're conceding.
Yeah. This weekend, all football clubs in England, as well as the major sports media outlets and us here at Express FM, have come together to unite and take action against social media, in particular the disgusting abuse which has been plastered on sites such as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram towards footballers this season. We all stand for the same cause in the fight against racism, homophobia and all other forms of abuse online. The end of what has been labelled as a social media blackout is Monday at 11:59pm. But until then, and even after, we all campaign for a much safer and friendlier environment on these channels, which were created to bring us together, not drive us apart. Blues head coach Danny Cowley has also been talking about the movement.
I think it needed to happen. I think we all need to respect social media and we all need to remember that there's a human being on the other side, and I just encourage people to be kind to each other. As a teacher, I'd often say to the children to think before they speak, and maybe on this occasion I'm asking people to think before they post or think before they tweet.
We'll take a listen to the rest of that interview with the Pompey boss in the next part of the show. But until then, don't go anywhere and keep it locked into Express FM. You're listening to The Football Hour, and we've got so much more to come in just a few moments' time.
This is The Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to The Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to access timetables, route information and fare prices too. You can even pay for your next ticket. Let's get to some interaction we've got coming into us then. And Roger in Gosport on the text. Good evening, Jake. What a strange game Tuesday. I thought for 1 minute they were going to lose. Then what a shock to hear the Blues fight to come back. And then there was a mix-up between Craig McGilvery and John Marquis, and Accrington made it level. It was a shame, but that's football. Hopefully we get a result against them in the last game. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport on the text, getting in touch for tonight's show then. And yeah, really going back to Tuesday night then, Mark, and we'll start off by talking about how Pompey set up in that game. It looked to be a little bit of a back three, didn't it? We know that Lee Brown, the day before on the Monday, Danny Cowley came out to the media. He told us that he'd be available for selection for that game, but he didn't quite make the match day 18. And Charlie Daniels, once again, not favoured to start the game for Pompey. And it looked to be a back three of James Bolton, Sean Raggett and Rasmus Nicolaisen, with Callum Johnson and Marcus Harness as wing-backs. Tom Naylor and Ben Close in the middle, with Bias supporting Curtis and Marquis up top. It's an interesting style of play, and it's an interesting formation, one which we haven't seen too much from Pompey this season. But it also goes to emphasise that whilst the Cowleys are here to try and get Pompey up into the Championship, they also acknowledge that there's room to kind of change things and adapt things and to experiment with this squad to try and get the best out of this team.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, isn't it? So it's a real puzzle for them. And I feel for the guys. They've only just come in. They did seem to stick with the original what did it be, a 4-5-1 during the Cowley bounce. But now they've had to move things about because it wasn't working. And you wonder, I don't think they're moving things about in order to play the opposition. I think they're moving them about in order to find the best possible solution for having, because we know we've got really good players, but having these good players in the best possible positions. And it's a mind-boggling Sudoku, isn't it? I think we've all got different ideas, but as I mentioned before, Byers coming in, I think, was a stroke of genius. I think he's absolute quality. He played 35 games for Swansea last season. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's out of favour there. He was doing very well in the under-23s before that, but I think he's been important and brings something different. And he's not just a quality player. He's also had a number of yellow cards, looking at his stats at Swansea, I think seven during the season. We've all got different opinions about Naylor and Close. We know Close has got incredible potential, and Naylor maybe isn't playing his best football, but can be that engine and that man, that midfield general when he wants to be. And everyone else around them just seems to be shifted, or who knows what the best formation is. But I liked Marquis and Curtis up front. I like the fact they're trying something different, and I like the fact they seem to use subs very well. And my goodness, what a change at half time, Jake. What yeah. a change. What did they say to them in that dressing room?
That
they don't just change things around beforehand. Yeah, yeah, they can change things at half time and during the game.
Yeah, and Dan, what was your assessment of not just, you know, the performance from Pompey on Tuesday night, but the way that they adopted to this new formation, three at the back with the wing backs? Yes, three goals shipped, but kind of overall looking really to the future. We know at this present stage, but you know, nothing's going to change overnight. At the end of the day, Danny Cowley is still working with a Keddie Jacket squad, and you know, not necessarily that, you know, these players are really suited to his style of play. But from what you've seen so far, are you liking what you've been seeing? Are you liking the potential within this squad, the new tactics? Do you think that there is certainly a place for the Cowley brothers at Fratton Park next season?
Most definitely. I think the first game that the Cowley brothers were in charge, I think they'd only had training for one day.
Yeah.
And the game, you could instantly see a change in the way we were playing. It wasn't just the results. I know we won the first few, and there was, you know, there were people talking about automatic promotion, but for me, that wasn't really the key thing. The key thing was we were playing a really different way of playing football. We were, you know, the press was there, and it was a lot better. It was a lot nicer to watch. I think we're trying to accommodate missing certain players. I think the other night, I think the reason we played the formation was because Brown missing. I think they've lost confidence in Charlie Daniels. And I think that, you know, I think that was what forced a hand of. And I would like to go back to a back four for the next two, for our final two games, if Brown's back in. But yeah, I'm really confident about what they've done so far. I think they come across really well. They say a lot of what they do it's not massively complicated. They just say things that fans want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the reaction to the other night, or the reaction to some of the defeats before. You know, I remember Kenny saying, and you know, whatever Kenny said, he was probably lambasted by the fans, but when he said it was a good way to lose, I think he said once. I just think that what they say, the fans can respond to it well. They can connect with it. And I think they've been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and that's something we spoke about quite a few times on the show since the Cowleys have been appointed, Marcus. But, you know, sometimes, you know, some managers, even players as well, you know, they come to a club and it's just not the right fit. But when you look at the Cowley brothers, as Dan's mentioned there, you know, they're saying the right things in you know, their press conferences, after the games as well. And really the kind of animation on the touchline is really what Pompey fans can really warm to. And that's what Blues fans have been kind of crying out for a number of years now. You know, you know, we mentioned Kenny Jacket, and we're not going to bang the drum too much. And he had a great CV. And coming down to Fratton Park, it was a great appointment. And I still stand firm, but it was a fantastic appointment at the time. Just not quite fitting the Pompey DNA. And sometimes you just can't help that. His style of play isn't necessarily what the fans wanted. And at the end of the day, when the results dried up, it just made it look even worse. But you know, the Cowley brothers, they really get this club, and it's a real kind of relationship between them and the fans. But you really can't, at this moment, you can't break apart.
I think that's absolutely huge. I agree with pretty much all you've said. For me, the big thing with the Cowleys that's different to Jacket, both of them, for me, are really brave. Kenny took a lot of abuse. I know you're going to talk more about that later. But he was brave. He stood his ground. He actually put himself in between the fans and the players. And I'll always have respect for that. But he wasn't malleable. He couldn't change. And for me, the Cowleys can roll with the punches. They've got different ways of doing things. They're innovative. They're clever. He's very articulate, Danny Cowley, when he speaks, isn't he? And he reaches out to us, and he can shape our reactions, and he can shape the players' reactions. And I think it's his interpersonal skills plus that ability to shape shift and to roll, to not just to roll with the punches, but also to be proactive and to look forward and change things for the better. They're teachers, you know. They're very good at learning and very good at improving systems and players.
Yeah, and Mark mentioned a few moments ago, Dan, the impact of George Byers in the last two games, the potential he's brought to Pompey since he's been included within this squad, and a player who at the start of his loan found game time really, really hard to come by, not favoured by the previous management. And look, he's come into his Cowley side recently. He's linked up very well with Ronan Curtis. We saw that fantastic goal against Bristol Rovers last week, and really influential on Tuesday night as well in creating opportunities going forward for Pompey. Is this a player who, I know he is only a loan player, he will go back to Swansea at the end of the season, but is he a player maybe if Swansea do get promoted to the Premier League, he might not quite fit into their plans in the top division. Would you like to see him back next season? Can you see the potential that he can bring to a Danny Cowley team?
Absolutely. I think he'd be great in the Championship for us next season. Bit of positive thinking there. But I'd like to see him now given a run. You know, what he's not had this, he's not really had a run, is he? He's come in for bits. I'd like to see him just almost given the put faith in him, give him the last two games of the season. And let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can be the kind of the hero that takes us over the line. I think he'd be a good signing for us if we were to go up to the Championship, which potentially might be quite inviting for him if he knows he's not potentially going to feature for Swansea in the Premier League if they were to go up.
Yeah,
but certainly could be some potential there.
Do you think that is the difference between Pompey securing George Byers on a permanent basis or even just another loan deal next season, Mark? It's not really something that's been spoken about much. I don't think you can blame supporters for not necessarily, you know, talking about it too much, because at the end of the day, we haven't seen George Byers play enough within this team to really be assured that he can definitely fit within this mould. But is the difference between him coming back to Fratton Park next season really Swansea getting promoted out of a Championship? Because we've seen the potential within him. We know that Swansea want to keep him for the future, but in the Championship next season, do you reckon he can do bits for the Swans? Or, you know, if they get promoted to the Premier League, is that another potential, you know, coup for Pompey to try and get him back on loan at Fratton Park?
The Swansea are doing so well at the moment, aren't they, that you wonder even if they didn't get promoted, if they'd be pushing hard again and a young player like him would get enough minutes. I think it's got to be a huge draw for him, you know, playing here in the Championship. I agree with Dan, in the Championship next season, because we've got the momentum and we are going to get there. I think that he'd be bonkers not to join Pompey in the Championship. He'd get so much more playing time, and he's just got that little spark we need. I saw Ben Close again, who I absolutely admire as a technical player. And my goodness me, the goals that he scored for us. He still goes backwards far too much for me. I see the Cowley starting to coach him to take risks and play balls forward, but he doesn't like it. He loves his possession stats, but Byers takes risk. And without him, no danger we'd have got past Bristol. Absolutely no way. He gave us that little bit of quality in that tiny opening.
Yeah. Evening, Jake Away and the lads. Pompey have refound their teeth up front. Let's see goals tomorrow. Pompey goals. Play up, Pompey. From Mike T and Crispy Bacon Sarni Salsi on the text there then. Okay, we're going to take a few moments now to listen to the rest of that pre-match interview with Danny Cowley. He's been highlighting the tactical changes in recent matches, as well as whether or not there are still chances to adapt the way his team set out with just two games left to play.
I think our ambition is always to find continuity. My best teams have always had continuity, particularly down the spine of the team. That hasn't been possible because of injuries and suspensions since we've been here. We've been really challenged in terms of that and in terms of player availability. And we've had to adapt and tweak things accordingly. And credit to the players, because they've been able to adapt with the different challenges. But the principles never change. The way we play the game never changes. Sometimes we change the formations, but ultimately that can just be players playing 5 metres further right, or 5 metres further inside, or 5 metres higher up, or 5 metres lower down. So, you know, football's a pretty fluid game and they don't stand on the same blade of grass for 90 minutes. So they're moving in and out of formations all the time, whether you're in possession, out of possession, whether you're in the attacking half, the defensive half. So sometimes, you know, formations get talked about a lot and I understand that. But for us, it's always the principles that give us the consistency that we aim to have in our performance.
You mentioned injury news. Will you have any more players available to you for Saturday?
Yeah, we hope so. Geordie has been out on the grass this week, which has been brilliant, like a new signing for us, and it'd be fantastic to have another attacking option at the top end of the pitch. And Lee Brown will be fit as well, and that gives us an option now to go back to the back four, which I think would be our preference. Although, you know, when we played in the back three against Bristol Rovers, I think we reduced them to maybe only 0.15 expected goals. So, you know, I thought we defended impeccably on the Saturday, but not so well on the Tuesday. And like I said, we're putting a lot of work to try to improve that and find the level of consistency that you need if you want to be a successful team.
It's the time of season where you need 100% from every single player. Do you feel confident that you're going to get that from this squad?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the group was particularly disappointed. You've only got to see their reaction to conceding the goal in the 94th minute to know how much it means to them. You'd never question their attitude or their work ethic. And I can rest easy knowing that they're going to bring their A game in that respect. And we all want the same thing. We're all working really, really hard. No stone has been left unturned. We're working exceptionally hard in terms of the detail of the performance. And there's no shortcuts in that. So we are having to work really, really hard. We're a new group and we've only just come together. And it's taking a huge amount of energy and a huge amount of focus, and we're enjoying the challenge that's in front of us.
Just finally, we'll touch on the social media switch off, which is happening this weekend. How important is it, do you think, to get that message out there?
Well, I think social media, first and foremost, is a good thing. I think it's good for communication. I think it's good for bringing the world together, if you like, and certainly a great learning tool. I'm pleased that football has made its stand. I think it needed to happen. I think we all need to respect social media, and we all need to remember that there's a human being on the other side. And for me, I like to always see the best in people. My life is much better as a consequence of living by that thought process. I just encourage people to be kind to each other, and I totally understand that sometimes the football supporter gets disappointed when the thing they love most lets them down. They can get disappointed, they can get angry, and sometimes that spills over. And I would just encourage everybody just to remember that there's a human being on the other side of that. And I think as a teacher, I'd often say to the children to think before they speak. And maybe on this occasion, I'm asking people to think before they post or think before they tweet.
There you go then. Head coach Danny Carley providing his pre-match words to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team. And if you missed any of that, you can hear it again throughout the build-up of tomorrow's game right here on Pompey Live from 2 o'clock. A really important message broadcast by Danny Carley at the end there. We spoke about it at the start of tonight's show, this weekend's social media blackout, aiming to send a statement to social media outlets to do more to prevent online abuse from occurring. As we are all aware, there have been some really horrific examples of abuse, racial abuse in particular this season, and we've seen a disgusting rise in vile comments. Dan, how important is it for these clubs and indeed news outlets such as newspapers and radio stations to take part in this social media boycott?
Yeah, I think it's really important. As a teacher, as you know, Jake, what I say to the children at school is, would you say to someone's face what you'd write in a tweet? I think the use of Twitter is so easy just to say something. I just say when something goes wrong in a football match, it's so easy just to tweet that player, and it's wrong. And unfortunately, this is really powerful. This weekend of a blackout and drawing the line. But unless something's done about it by the social media companies, Tuesday, nothing will change. So this is really powerful, and hopefully this can start, start to force some of these social media companies to make changes to the way that people can create accounts. But until that happens, then nothing will change.
Yeah, and really nasty comments, Mark, we've seen shared on social media recently, and it is so easy, too easy to, A, broadcast these messages, and B, to get away with it, because as Dan mentioned, unless these social media companies step up and they take action to try and prevent this from happening, all they're doing at the moment is blocking these accounts and just kind of allowing them to start up again under a new name, a new alias, hiding behind another profile. And it's just so easy to get away with it, isn't it? That there needs to be something strenuous done to try and prevent this from continuing, especially on such a large scale that we've seen it recently.
Yeah, you need to have a two-pronged attack, don't you? I mean, the first one is to try and appeal to people's humanity and do what I suppose is a qualitative approach, where actually you have blackouts and you try and educate people and you try and reach people that way. And the other is exactly as you said, and like Dan said, you can't. Unfortunately, there are horrible people out there, and anonymity is not. It's always going to be right pickings as long as there's no. There's no insistence from these companies on making your details public. There can't be anonymity anymore. And it's a shame. It's a shame, but it needs to be managed. And the output and the spend that these companies have on managing all of this online abuse, that needs to increase as well. Clearly, you can wait days sometimes before there's a response.
Yeah. Do you think the right way forward, Dan, is to, you know, provide, I don't know, identification to try and sign up to these social media accounts and really ensure that, you know, if your account is blocked for that kind of reason, if you've been targeting players or anyone on social media with this, you know, disgusting abuse, then you're not allowed to set up another account because, you know, you've got to provide your identification, be that a passport, a you know, driving license or anything of the sort. Do you think that is the way forward? Because there's also been counter arguments from, you know, companies and organisations who aren't necessarily specific people, you know, singular people, but, you know, the companies, they can't provide such details. So is that the way forward, or do you think there needs to be some sort of in-between mark between those two kind of sides of the fence?
I think there needs to be some form of, yeah, some form of way in which it can be controlled. So, you know, you, as you say, you can't just abuse someone, be banned, and then start another account up. How that's done, obviously, it's obviously difficult. That's why it's not been done. I'm sure these social media companies don't want this type of activity to be taking place, but you know, it might be that they're worried about the number of users that are using their software and their websites. But ultimately, this there has to be a change. Something has to happen. And so I do think, even if it is that, you know, that kind of use of a passport or use of something like that to ensure that this is used correctly, because social media is fantastic, and you know, the closeness it can bring us to our heroes, to our football players, to our film stars, it's a really amazing thing, but it's just got to, there needs to be better control around it.
Yeah, and Mark, you know, we'll kind of touch upon this finally now, and you know, something needs to be done to try and prevent this from happening so easily in the future. This social media blackout, do you think this will be the statement that, you know, social media companies in particular, you know, to try and up the game, to try and ensure that this, you know, these things don't happen in the future, but also to so-called fans on social media who think it's right to do this sort of thing? Do you think this will be a wake-up call?
I think you're going to hit a percentage, aren't you? But like I said, it needs to be two-pronged. You have this sort of, you know, reach out to fans and you hit a few people and they have a bit of a think. But you also need to have a harder line as well, don't you, for the people that just don't get it. And for me, I think it is fairly straightforward. You know, actually, you can blacklist IP addresses. So everyone in a household actually gets banned. Oh, well, why are we back? Well, there's a clearly racist tweet that's gone out, and it was someone from this household. You're now blacklisted. No one here can use that for, you know, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. The other thing you could do is get people to sign up with credit cards. Make sure they agree at the start to all the terms and conditions, and then as soon as they do it, they also get a £500 fine. And I think that actually would help to catch all those people who aren't going to have a little bit of a think after this blackout and force them through other ways, other mechanisms, just to mind their manners. And actually, if I bring it back to Pompey, obviously there's the racist abuse is a real concern. Someone like Marcus Rashford doing something like, you know, something caring in the community and then getting racist abuse for it is just extraordinary. Yeah. But we've also seen it towards our own CEO, towards Mark Catlin, who works so hard to reach all the fans. Anyone can email him and he'll get back to you. That transparency, that openness is just extraordinary. I don't know any other football club that has a CEO like that. And he's right behind the Eisners, who are keeping us afloat. And actually, we've been in and out of financial difficulties since the 70s. Let's not just give them a break. Let's give them some praise and some support. The mind boggles that we're attacking these people in vicious, unnecessary ways.
Yeah. Not today, not tomorrow, not any other day. Racist abuse, homophobic abuse, any sort of online abuse is never okay and it needs to stop. And this social media blackout will last until Monday at 11:59 p.m. Right, time is slowly creeping up on us here, so we're going to head off for a very quick break now. You'll be pleased to know it's the final one of the show. When we return, the three of us will be continuing to preview tomorrow's trip to Wimbledon. We'll hear a little more about this weekend's opponents and we'll reel in the final thoughts of you getting in touch from back home. So stick around and stay with us for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Football Hour, which is being driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Campaigning for a cleaner and greener mode of transport, visit stagecoachbus.com for more information on the services they can provide you. This is your final chance, Blues fans, to get your pre-match thoughts into the panel this evening. Would you like to see Lee Brown come into the side tomorrow and revert Pompey to a back four? Can you see Danny Cowley masterminding the Blues to a top six finish? And what do you think the score will be at Plough Lane tomorrow afternoon? To get in touch tonight, please either text your name and message, starting off with the word Express to 81400 or email pompey@expressfm.com. It's time now to take a closer look at this weekend's opponents. Wimbledon are the hosts for match day number 45, and Connor Mosley has all you need to know about the challenges that lie ahead.
It's the penultimate game of the season for Pompey this weekend. After 44 long matches, the Blues occupy sixth in League One. The team in the way of them and retaining a place in the playoffs is AFC Wimbledon.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Portsmouth are away from home this weekend, travelling just 65 miles up to the new Plough Lane, the home of the Dons, and it's the Blues' first visit to this stadium. The club had spent the last 17 years at King's Meadow in Kingston-upon-Thames, but finally returned to their spiritual home in Wimbledon earlier this season. Here's a closer look at the challenges that lie ahead for Danny Cowley's side.
Manager.
56-year-old Mark Robinson is the head coach at Plough Lane. Robinson joined the Dons in 2004, just 2 years after the club's formation, having spent time at Fulham as a player. He was appointed to oversee the first team operations initially on an interim basis on January the 30th, following the sacking of Glenn Hodges. On the 17th of February, the club announced that Robinson would remain permanently as the head coach.
One to watch.
Watch out for the Dons' number nine, Ollie Palmer, who's netted three in his last five games. The 29-year-old has only been at the club since last August, transferring in from Crawley Town, who he left in the summer following the expiration of his contract. Free agent Palmer had to wait until the turn of the calendar year to score his first goal in Wimbledon colours. That came in a 2-1 defeat to Lincoln City on January the 2nd. Overall, he has just five goals to his name for the Dons, but has always been a player to keep tabs on, making a name for himself at clubs such as Leyton Orient, Luton Town and Lincoln themselves. As it happens, Palmer spent two seasons at Havant & Waterlooville, scoring 37 goals in 69 appearances before making the big move to Mansfield Town in the Football League for an undisclosed fee in 2013.
Top scorer.
With 19 league goals to his name so far this season, Wimbledon's leading scorer goes to number 39 Joe Piggott, Ollie Palmer's striking partner. The 27-year-old has hit some form recently too, netting five goals in his last six appearances for the Dons, including a brace against Swindon a fortnight ago. Piggott, who was born in Maidstone and came through the youth ranks at Charlton before turning pro in 2012, signed for Wimbledon from his hometown in January 2018, since providing 46 goals from over 130 appearances.
Current form.
Wimbledon haven't been beaten in any of their last six matches, last being defeated on Easter Monday, a 1-0 deficit to Fleetwood Town. Since then, the Dons have won four games in a row before being held to back-to-back stalemates in the last two, including a 0-0 draw at Ipswich, and in their last outing, a 3-3 draw with relegation rivals Rochdale. Overall, they sit 19th in the table with 50 points, six clear of the drop zone with just two games remaining. Survival has been all but mathematically confirmed, and they could have their League One status officially renewed this weekend. Even if Pompey take 3 points, results could go their way elsewhere. Can the Blues retain a position within the top six, or will their playoff hopes take another damaging blow? All of the unmissable action of Wimbledon versus Pompey on Pompey Live.
A closer look at AFC Wimbledon there with our very own Connor Mosley, and looking into AFC Wimbledon, Mark, you know, players highlighted within that segment, Joe Piggott and of course Ollie Palmer as well. Joe Piggott has got more goals this season than John Marquist, despite playing for a team that are scrapping for relegation. Now, you look at the table, you look at it, you know, on paper, this is a game you see Pompey winning comfortably. However, in recent matches we've seen, in particular against Swindon, even the game against Bristol Rovers was, you know, only a 1-0, wasn't the most spectacular of matches. And considering Wimbledon's form, they're unbeaten in sixth, they can score goals, they've scored a barrel of goals at home in recent matches, this is not going to be an easy game at all.
No, 100%, mate. This is going to be, I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Of course they're going to get forward. They scored five against Aki earlier this month, and but the The thing is, you look all the way back and their worst result of the entire season was against Pompey when they lost 4-0. And I do think that we are going to get forward and we're going to score goals. And I think we'll get at least three. I think it could be 3-2, 4-2. I can't see Wimbledon not scoring. I can't see us not scoring more. And I think it's going to be great. And we should be embracing all of this. It's an exciting time. We've got these exciting managers. The players are finding form. Yeah, they're having to move things about a bit. And some of the players at the back are looking a little awkward. But I think that Danny Cowley is the Klopp of League One. And actually, we are going to just go forward. It's just a philosophy of score more than them.
Yeah. And we ran through the table earlier, Dan, and Pompey sitting sixth. Charlton 2 points behind with the game in hand. Of course, Oxford are looming as well. But Pompey away to Wimbledon tomorrow. Accrington at home on the final game of the season next Sunday. Can you see Pompey snatching that final playoff place? Or do you think that one of the teams below them, Oxford or Charlton, are going to pit them to the post?
No, I think we're going to get there. I'd say I think we when it comes to it, I think we generally manage to get the results we need. I do think tomorrow is going to be a difficult game. They're as you say, the forwards Pickett and Palmer. You know, they're dangerous, and I think that's why I would like to play with a back four tomorrow. Get Brown back in there. I think there will still be goals tomorrow, but I think hopefully we can get 3 points tomorrow and then set it up for a fantastic Sunday next week, where hopefully with a win tomorrow and other results going our way with Charlton and their next two games before next Sunday, it's in our hands. And, you know, and a win at Fratton Park next Sunday will take us to the playoffs.
Yeah. And I know Pompey fans back home listening in that recent matches against teams below us in the table, teams we should be beating really on paper, haven't necessarily gone the way that we've expected. But let's take a look at the run-in for those three mentioned teams, including Pompey. So Pompey travel to Wimbledon tomorrow. They can secure their safety tomorrow, even if they are defeated. And then, of course, Accrington Stanley at home next Sunday. That's the 9th of May. Charlton, they've got a game in hand. So they first take on Accrington tomorrow away from home. We know what a side Accrington are. We know that they can certainly pull off a shock there. Lincoln at home is their game in hand this coming Tuesday night. Lincoln, a team who have been battling for the top two this season. They look to be beaten for that post, but they're still in it. They're still in for automatic promotion, and they could be, well, really on paper again, they are the team, but you'd look to win that game. And then the final game of the season, Charlton host Hull at the Valley. So they really have not got an easy run in, Pompey fans. And look at Oxford, their last two games. Shrewsbury away tomorrow afternoon. Shrewsbury, a team who have been beaten all of the top sides this season. And Burton Albion, a side who miraculously escaped relegation this season. Probably one of the teams you'd look to be, you know, nailed on relegation contenders considering the start of the season they had. Again, they're not an easy side to beat. So look, both or all three of these sides have got difficult games, but Pompey, really, it's in their hands. They've got to get the job done. OK, let's get to the score predictions from the lads joining me over the phone tonight. Then we'll start off with you, Mark. Pompey away at Wimbledon tomorrow. How do you see this one unfolding?
3-2.
3-2, you think there's going to be goals,
yeah,
in it?
3-2.
Yep, fair enough. Yeah. Yep. How about you, Dan? What are you going for? Are you going for a high-scoring game?
I'm going 2-1, Pompey.
2-1 Pompey. OK, then we've got a few more text tweets and emails to get through. Let's have a look. Pompey in Canberra. If we win both of our remaining games, I think the playoffs will be achievable. That would make it 7 points from the last three, which was the number considered by many as being enough, Danny Cowley included. Let's hope we can do it anyway. Play up Pompey. Pompey in Canberra. And we've got a few more in now. Luke Carden says, I never thought I'd say this earlier in the season, but Brown has been missed massively with this injury. One of the best performances under Bacali so far and has offered a good option going forward. Charlie Daniels, despite all of his experience, has proved why Shrewsbury were happy to let him go. And Paul O'Neill's got in touch. He says Lee Brown must start if fit. Defensively, we must be a lot harder to break down. It's now or never for us. I'm staying positive, going for a 2-1 win for the Blues. Jeff Harris is going for a 1-1 draw, and Phil Willimot is going for It's got to go for a 4-2 Pompey win. Says not easy. They are free scoring at home. Marquis now knows where the back of the net is the opinion of Phil Willimott then. Okay then, Mark Coates and Dan Waldron, thank you both ever so much for joining me on the Football Hour this evening. It's been great to have you both along, and I'm sure we'll hear from you both very, very soon. Okay, you can catch all of the unmissable action of Pompey away at AFC Wimbledon right here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey. The Blues have two games remaining this season to try and retain their position within the top six in League One. They travel to Plough Lane tomorrow afternoon for the first time since it was opened earlier this season. And full build-up commences at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey and Accrington shared a point on Tuesday night after a thrilling 3-3 draw. Up next, the Blues head to AFC Wimbledon. Can Pompey make it to the playoffs? Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday from 2. AFC Wimbledon versus Pompey will be right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aquacars.
Myself, Liam Howes, and the Viking, Ryan Steelwell, will have you covered with full build-up, half-time analysis and post-match reaction live from Plough Lane as Pompey take on AFC Wimbledon in match day number 45 of this League One season. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey. OK, next week we are celebrating the life of Captain Sir Tom Moore by joining thousands across the country fundraising for the Captain Foundation, and we're doing it through music. You can request your favourite song and raise money in the process. Do head to our website to donate to the appeal and make sure to leave your request in the comment field. Darren Gamblin will kick off our 100 requests for Captain Sir Tom Moore this bank holiday Monday from 8 o'clock in the morning before Kevin Stokes at 11 a.m. We want to raise as much as possible, so any help is absolutely fantastic. The website has a minimum donation of £2, but if you are feeling generous after payday, we welcome any donation you wish to make, all going to a fantastic cause. So join us from 8 o'clock this bank holiday Monday morning. And that happens pretty much all throughout the day, which means the Football Hour has been moved to Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. I'll be with two more Pompey fans to review all of the action from tomorrow's game at Wimbledon. And you can join us, like I said earlier, from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, live from Plough Lane, to see if Pompey can secure another victory. But until then, Blues fans, have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and play at Pompey. Take care.